This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Let's roll. Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. She's so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. Yeah, she's so lit, we so high. Just me and my chick, yeah. Just me and my chick, yeah. She give me a.
Yo, 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 what's up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. This is your boy, Rod One, and this is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what I do each and every week. I come up here and I talk to some of the world's most interesting people, and I'm going to do the same thing this week because I do that every week, right? But listen, thank y'all again for tuning in. Thank y'all for jumping on with your boy, man. Like I say, I appreciate y'all, man, because y'all the real MVPs, right? So before we get everything started, y'all know what I do. I have to let y'all know that I appreciate all the people that download the audio version of this platform because that really means a lot. For all my people out there on Spotify, you on Amazon Music, if you on, Amazon, Apple, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like all the places that y'all get y'all Spotify, that y'all stream podcasts, we are there. And we appreciate y'all for all of y'all that really checked me out, man. You know what I'm saying? And y'all want to hear what the guests got going on and y'all want to hear what your boy talking about. So I definitely appreciate y'all. All right, to all my people that download the audio version of the platform. So y'all know that I'm going to give it to y'all straight, right? And give it to y'all raw. So what we're going to do, I'm going to make sure that we give a special shout out to all the people that support the platform. We want to definitely give a shout out to Second Round in the building. Second Round, man, it helps with so many things. Another thing is detoxing your system. So for the most of y'all, that I want y'all to click the link in the description and get more information. All right? Get more information on Second Round and everything that it does, right? Okay, Java Burn in the building. We want to make sure that all my coffee drinkers out there, you need a little extra pep in your step, a little extra pep in your coffee. If you're the type of person that just enjoys to have coffee when you're walking or anything like that, what Java Burn is a uniquely blend that will help you to help burn calories, which we all know that we need to be doing. It doesn't matter. You have to take your health seriously, all right? They're putting all kind of things in the food. They're putting everything in the air, you know. And I hear people a lot of times, they say things like, yo, we can't help it. They're doing everything, so we just got to deal with it. And it's like, no, you got to do the things that you can to help yourself. You only get that one body that you're living in this timeline. So while you're on this timeline, take care of what you were given, right? So it's no excuse. So For those of y'all that are coffee drinkers and y'all like to get a little move or y'all need a little extra pep in your step, y'all want to burn those calories and lose a little bit of weight, Jabba Burners for y'all. Y'all know what to do. Click the link. To all the people that like to smell good, right? You like to smell good, but the alcohol version of these different fragrances, they do a little something to you. They irritate you. They, you know, all these other things. So, from the makers of Aroma Air, they got oil spray. So, you can find your favorite fragrances in an oil base, which is based on aloe. And you guys can still smell good without dealing with all the irritation and all the other things that come with that, right? So, make sure that y'all click the link in the description and check them out. And, you know, go ahead and copy out something. All right. So I'm excited because I'm telling y'all, man, this is actually 7 days. 7 days from today, our new short film comedy drops called Kill No One. It drops on the 13th, next Tuesday, 12 a.m., you know, it's going down. I got a bunch of my friends in it. We have some fun with this one, man. And I'm just anxious to share it with the world. So hopefully all you guys will be tuned in. Next Tuesday, you know, we're going to be on the platform. I'm going to be talking about it a little bit. But for the most part, it does drop early that morning. So we're going to be going through the whole day, man, just in our zone, right? Just being thankful for being able to complete some things that we think about, right? Or being the people who are not afraid to do what you need to do and not wait for somebody to give you an opportunity, right? There's so many people right now who gave up on their dreams or gave up on everything that they wanted to do because they was hoping that somebody would recognize them in a way where they would promote them, where they would salute them, where they would put them up so they could, the world can know about them. But we find out that it doesn't happen that way. And not only that, a lot of us should be thankful that we never got caught in those situations with these contracts and with these things and these entities, because as you're finding out, a lot of really bad things has been happened to a lot of really talented people. So the fact that you avoided that, you got to be thankful. And I know it doesn't seem that way, but this is a great way now to start being thankful for missing that boat, right? You're a great singer. You're an amazing singer. You know what I'm saying? You're a great rapper. You're a great actor, right? You know what I mean? You're really nice with all of these things, but listen, you didn't never make it to the big Grammys and you never had the big record deal and you never been next to the Drakes and next to the Kendricks and all these other people, the Taylor Swifts, the Beyoncés. You never had a chance to really be next to them. And you may feel like, you know, life has cheated you and that it's something personal against you when you don't even know that you've been saved. You know what I mean? Like, you've been protected. It's a lot of things protecting people that they don't even know. And the sad part about it, the things and the spirits and the ancestors that's protecting us, we don't even give them the credit. It's because we don't recognize that we're being protected. We think that it's up to somebody else to make us what we need to be versus it coming from us, right? We always like to put the emphasis on something outside of us. But anyway, it's going down, and I want all of y'all to make sure that y'all check it out next week. It's definitely going down. And then we got Lit Sticks in the building, y'all. Lit Sticks is a pre-roll brand, man. It's coming. I want all of y'all to stay connected, stay tuned, because we got way more information coming about that too as well. So shout out to all the sponsors. Shout out to everybody that supports your boy. And make sure y'all go out there and check this stuff out, right? Okay. So I have a guest tonight, right? And we're going to get into some things, right? We're going to talk about some things and we're going to find out what's going on in her world, right? But before we do that, y'all know I got to give y'all my take for the week. And let me just say, yo, it's a continuation, right? Every week, it's another continuation of the divide. What I mean by that is the racial divide in America, right? It is on full steam ahead right now, with everything that's being propped up for black and white people only to be against each other. This is one of the most, you know, it's insane how much people are falling for it still in today's time of 2025, right? We're still falling for the whole, you know, this person did this to me, I'm mad because this person used to do this to us. It's always something in that space, right? Because people have this thing inside of them where it's almost like, you know, when they're taught something, right? When you're taught to hate, hate is one of the strongest things that is out there for people to get rid of. Now, I know that people deal with addictions, right? And they talk about how hard it is to get clean and sober from different addictions that they suffer from. Some people feel like they've gone through things where they suffer from PTSD.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
D, you know, from being in the military, being in different type of service jobs where they've seen a lot of things and they suffer from things where mentally they always, remembering them and the way that they remember them makes them feel a certain way, right? You know, there's a lot of things that are being used against us. And the number one thing is emotions, right? You know, as much as they want to talk about MK Ultra and all these mind control situations that happen out there, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, they say these things are conspiracy theories and all this other stuff, right? But it's very hard for people to take that in as conspiracy when we see the play right in front of us. And the fact that people do not mind telling, you know, when they're that arrogant, they'll tell you exactly what they're trying to do, right? Because let's take this for example. We talked about the Carmelo Anthony thing, right? That happened a few weeks ago, right? And I think a lot of people were taking it a thing because of it being, a white kid and a black kid, right? So what happened? But technically, we got to look at what the details are. Like, we understand that race is a thing that you can actually see when it comes down to it because, you know, it's all corny for us to be identified as colors anyway, right? Because colors is not a race. But to call yourself a white person or to call yourself a black person or a brown person, what the hell is that? That's not connecting you to nothing but a color. That's it. And then you walk around here not them colors. There's so many people that identify as white that's not the color of white. But, I mean, I guess that's what it is. So many of us that they call us black, and I'm clearly brown. Like, I'm clearly brown. But then I have to walk around here and identify as a race of being black, and that's weird. Like, no. Like, we should be more than a color. Who are we? If we always had a beginning of where we come from, then that's what we are. That's who we are. They're so busy calling us African Americans, but can't tell us where we came from in Africa, right? What does that mean, right? What does that mean? And at the end of the day, like I say, y'all, you know, we got to make our own mind up. Now with that situation with Carmelo Anthony, people were up in arms because of what happened when it should be, right? It was a murder. It was a young kid who did something, you know, whatever the situation may have, murder took place, right? And we should all be outraged when it comes to murder, period. Not just when it comes from black and white. Because, see, now you got in Ohio. We had a young man in Ohio, right? Let me make sure I get his name right because I don't want it to not be, you know, what it really is because it's important. Right. So out in Ohio, you got your boy Rodney Hinton. Right. What happened was his son was unalived by a police officer. Right. Unarmed kid got out the car, started running. And we talked about this on this platform before. A lot of people always talk about why do people run? Why do you as an African-American or whatever you want to call us as a person, why do y'all always run from the police? And they don't understand the fear that's been instilled in those, you know, in those of us that look like me, you don't understand the fear that's been instilled by the police, right? So here's another thing. Whether that's right or wrong, it doesn't matter. But the fact that he shot this young man and he said that because he said the young man had a weapon. Well, the body cam footage came out. The young man's father looked at the body cam footage. Now, based on what he saw on the body cam footage, it clearly shows that, you know, his son never had a weapon. It was nothing on him that would even resemble a weapon, and he was fired upon, and he was shot, and he was killed. And, you know, they said the father reacted in a way that was strange, right? They said he was very calm. He was very quiet. He didn't say a word. He watched everything. He looked at it however many times they allowed him to. And then he left. And so then the very next day, here comes the dad back, the same deputy that did it. He runs him over with a car. Now, he's unalived as well, too. And now this is a thing going on, right, where there's so much hatred going on in the world based on the scenario that's happening, because now it's being made to be a racial thing, outside of the fact that there's been so many parents out here who've been screaming and hollering like, yo, the police have been unaliving our children, our unarmed children, and they've been able to get away with it for years, and they've been able to do it at a way where whatever their word is just what's been taken, right? The young kids are not here to defend themselves. They can't say what was happening. There's never been weapons that's been turned up or none of these things in a lot of these cases. And now these kids are not here no more. And, you know, the sad part about it is that they judge people by the way they look, because I want y'all to know, don't think you think that all the brown skinned kids or people who are brown skinned, that their parents are just completely black or whatever you want to call it. Like, some of y'all know that some of these brown kids, they got white parents, right? Or a white mom, or, you know, a white dad in that sense, right? You can't judge people by the way they look and just feel like you're going to treat them a certain way, because you don't know who their parents are. You don't know what their life is past what you can see. And the fact that parents are taking things into their own hands because they're tired of no justice being served for the people who are lawfully, you know, I mean, we say unlawfully, but for the people who are lawfully unaliving children, or unaliving Americans, period. And at this point, if, you know, the terrorists and all of the illegals that's been allowed into the country, if they're being deported and they're being dealt with for the things that are happening to citizens and things that are happening to unarmed citizens, it need to go all the way around, right? We need to stop making it about black and white, and it need to happen all the way around. And I don't care if you're in the hood. If you're in the hood and there's a young kid, they out there shooting and killing each other, then they should get the same punishment. And it should, these all should be labeled hate crimes, because especially with the police, because they have so many other things that they can use. They have rubber bullets. They have guns with rubber bullets. They have all other kind of things. They have stun. They have all these different things that they could use. They don't have to go to lethal force from someone running away from them. Like, it's just so hard for them to be pleading that they got self-defense and they in fear of their life from people running away from them. That doesn't go together, but so many police officers have been able to get off with that particular defense, saying that they've been scared for their life. So we have to talk about this more, but I have a guess, but I want y'all to know that, you know, in Sparking Conversation, we always going to talk about these things in a way where we want people to understand, like, yo, things are being done on purpose. And until we all recognize the play, we're all going to fall victim to our emotions. You know, we all gonna fall victim into hate until we could pay attention and just see that these things are being done on purpose. We want to be smarter than the way that people are making us out to be. They're making all of us out to be just stupid people that could be controlled. All we got to do is show them something, and that's it. And they'll go off from there. And so far, it's been true. And I hope that, you know, throughout this time.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
I'm going forward, that people really pay attention to that and stop falling for the play. Right? Just stop it. But anyway, I have a guest. I'm going to bring my guest up. We're going to talk about things. We're going to talk about some different things. So we're going to switch it up a little bit. And y'all know how I do. This is what we do each and every week. I'm going to give it to y'all, man. You know what I mean? So let's see what my guest got going on. Let's see what Amy is in the building. Hello, hello. All right, all right. So thank you for joining us on the program this evening. I definitely appreciate you, okay? I want to make sure we start off with that, right?
I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, definitely. So before we get started, let's do this. Can you please introduce yourself to the audience and let them know why you're on the platform this evening?
My name is Amy. I'm a reading teacher / ESL teacher. I've had an interesting long journey, I think, anyway. I started my own business, Two Kids Reading, with my sister. So I'm the tutor. She's the tech person because she says I break things, and I do. But I've taught online for 9 years, students on 6 continents now, which is pretty cool. So,
wow.
And I was 10 years in the classroom. I always joke, I was a statistic. So I tend to joke about it. But yeah, I've taught thousands of students in thousands of classes in the last 9 years. So I'm pretty lucky.
Wow, wow. And your main thing is teaching people how to read, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I still have my ESL students as well. So, I've taught students on only 2 continents today, only two countries. So that's a low day. On the weekends, it's usually 4 or 5 countries. And sometimes I have students in 4 or 5 continents in one class.
Wow, yeah, because so my question is, these students that's in other countries and other continents, are they all English-speaking students, or
English learners?
English learners.
So I'm teaching them reading and English at the same time. So it's pretty cool. And for the last over 3 years, I've taught students in Ukraine or from Ukraine with a volunteer organization. So I lied. I forgot today is Tuesday. I did teach students in 5 countries. I forgot and thought it was Wednesday.
Gotcha. Well, you know, it's interesting. That's why I wanted to have you on the platform. I know we had reached out a while back and we communicated about what it is you do. And I think it's important because we know in the United States, education has not been the number one priority for the students, that we know that, right? We know that there's been a lot of things going on in classrooms and in education the last 4 years, well, almost 8 years or so, that has really gotten away from educating the children, right? So to have a person like you on who dedicates themselves to the one thing that I think all people need, no matter what, because we got a whole bunch of adults right now who really can't read, which is crazy, right? Because they got a high school diploma, but they cannot read. One thing about people, and this is what I always say, that people can't judge people, right? Because the one thing about people who have a GED is that they can read. That's every last one of them that has a GED, a general education diploma, that had to go take the test or who had to go study the little book, they can read. So although they may not have accomplished things in a certain way, they can, but there are people who have a diploma, who walked across the stage with a cap and gown, who cannot read.
It's about 37% of high school graduates are proficient. My fact last Friday was 31% of fourth graders are proficient, and there's a reason for it. That's partly why I'm no longer in the classroom. And I've started my own business so that I can teach students based on the research. So I've written my own books and my own program based on the research, but I'm always writing more and rewriting. So I assess my students, see what they need, and that's what we work on. We work on phonics and comprehension, and it's like a building block. I always get my blocks out and I show them, okay, we have to start here and build up. And they've done it. Like, I had one student, he has autism and ADHD. I started with him, he was 8, did not know any letters, no sounds, nothing, and now he's reading chapter books. It's possible, but he needed to be taught in a different way.
Exactly.
Based on research, it works, but it's about 1 in 5 adults in the United States are functionally illiterate, and 14% can't fill out a job application, and it's based on how we were taught.
Exactly.
That's kind of the problem, which is why I started this. I wanted to change it and teach them the way they need to be taught.
Right.
And I'm able to do whatever, because when I was in brick and mortar, I was told you have to do this, even though it was not research based and it did not work. And that was the way it was. You had to do it. And now my students make progress and they grow because I'm able to do what they need and I don't have to follow a curriculum. We go and that's it's obviously reading is my passion. I think everyone needs to know how to read. And they're like, but they can read it to me, or someone can read it to me. And I'm like, then they can lie to you and cheat you. And why would you want that to happen?
Right.
You also need to understand what you're reading, because if you don't, then you have the same problem. You're just saying.
Right.
Some people say you're only teaching phonics, but I'm teaching comprehension too. And my one student that I just had right before we got on, he loves to tell me, I don't need to understand what I'm reading. I will just Google it. And I'm like, but then you have to understand what you're Googling. So you still have to know what
you're reading. Still have to know what you're doing. Yeah.
You really do. But
that's crazy. But, you know, I was going to say, like, in the sense of people in reading, and comprehension is a good part about it, too, because there are people who can make through things, but the comprehension part is the part that they deal with, because even with comprehension, that helps with communication in so many different ways, right? Like, mentally, it helps you to be able to have a verbal conversation with people based on comprehension, if you can do it whenever you can read and comprehend, because it's all about perspective. And I think so many people, they forget that part, and they are emotional. Like, they'll get hung up on words, right, versus them actually understanding the context in which they're being used. And how? Because, like you said, they lack the understanding of comprehension. And, you know, without trying to sound like, you know, belittling people, but let's be real, there's a lot of people who it's very hard for them to understand things just from them being able to see it for themselves. It's almost like somebody got to spoon feed them or walk them through. But once they do, they get it. So that's how your students are. Yeah. So when you say ESL, you said ESL, right?
English learners, it's ESL or ELL. You might hear it both ways. But yeah, bless you. I always say that with my students, there are a lot of stats. If your students read 20 minutes a day, they will read 1.8 million words in a year, about.
Wow.
So if you read about 1 minute a day, it's about 3,000, something like that. But I tell everyone, and I tell all parents, so parents listening, read to your children, because there is a 1 million word gap between for kids that are read to at home when they start kindergarten and are not read to. So read aloud, even as they're older, it builds their vocabulary, builds their comprehension. You can discuss things, learn about people, learn things that you may not have known and about places around the world. And that actually helps you in your everyday life. And I know a lot of stats.
that's a good thing. I think stats are important because, you know, you never want people to think that whenever a person is an expert in things, you know, so many people out here who say they experts in things and then they don't know stats, which makes it really hard, because it's like, even if you're an expert in something, when do you stop researching it? You never stop. Like, that's something that you never stop doing in anything that you are proficient at. You never stop researching. You never stop trying to figure out what's new about it and new ways to figure it out. Because being in service to others is how you can help learn how to teach people, you know, which is what you do in a sense of, you know, being able to teach students that don't really, that English is not their first language, but still be able to teach them how to read. So people whose English is their first language, then it's really no excuse for them, right? How early would you say, you know, we should focus on reading for children? At what age?
You can start, it depends on the child. Like some of them already at three. I have 3 and 4 year olds reading. But some people say, oh, just let them learn when they're 15. No, that's too late. They should at least be doing, they think it's a magic wand and they'll just pick it up. More than, you know. No, you need to work with them. They can screen for dyslexia as early as 5 now. So early intervention is key. Like, you don't have to push and add a lot of stress. But there are some people who think 5-year-olds should not be learning to read. They really should at 5 and 6 at least start knowing the letters, knowing the sounds. But even before you start looking at letters, you can do sounds. So find the beginning sound of a word. So give them a word like manatee. This is what I did the other day. What's the beginning sound? Point it out. Make a game out of it. What other words start with So just before you even look at the letters and get to the print, be working with, it's called phonemic awareness. So it's very good for them to know the sounds first and have worked with them before they get the print. And then don't give them all the letters at once. Give them one at a time, build on that, keep reviewing. And then once they know a few, you can start reading words like fact. And then work on it. So 5 and 6, people have a problem with them learning so much in kindergarten, but they're pretty much sponges at that point. And that's a good time to see, are they going to need more intense intervention? Because the sooner they get the intervention, the easier it is for them to catch up and learn. You don't want to have them in sixth grade going, oh, we just figured out you have dyslexia, because that's 7 years of school that they weren't getting the help they needed. And confidence not being able to read lowers their self-esteem, causes behavior problems. So it doesn't mean you have to put a lot of pressure. So have patience. It should be fun. Like 4 and 5, you can be playing sound games. Even 3. I learned to read at 3. So did my sister. So I am a little skewed, but
it's early as 3.
4 year olds will be upset. I'm like, I have a 5-year-old. Well, I have one that I have had for 2 years now. She did not speak a word of English, and she's about to start first grade reading, and she hasn't even started kindergarten yet. And I have another one in kindergarten. He's very, very proud. He just got student of the quarter. Parents were telling me all about it. And he's reading at a second grade level, and he's not even out of kindergarten yet. So they can learn. And there was no pressure. I made it fun. Class was fun, enjoyable, but they were still learning and doing what they needed to do. So it's possible.
Don't wait until they're 15.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. Right. And I never heard of people saying wait till your kid is 15, because then that's terrible, because by the time they're 15, they're already in junior high.
Yeah.
Right? They already went through middle school and the whole nine of being probably ridiculed and embarrassed and all that other stuff, not participating in certain things and being taken advantage of because they can't read. And I think I agree with you on that, yo. I think, kids should be just learning what in their whole situation of whatever their cartoon experience is, right? Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, parents just try to keep the children quiet. So they throw things that'll keep their attention. And a lot of times the things that keep their attention do be like cartoons, animations, and stuff like that. But very seldom do, you know, the kids really gravitate to all the learning programs and situations that are out there to help them at a really young age. So, you know, we got to applaud the parents that will go that far as to make sure that their children get, you know, connected with learning programs versus just having their attention, you know, taken away from them just so they can get some peace and quiet, right? So, yeah, I think that's cool too. And so when people come to you, right, being that you're not in brick and mortar anymore, no, let's not do that. Let's talk about brick and mortar real quick. Because they just dismantling the Department of Education. First of all, how do you feel about that as a teacher that used to be in brick and mortar?
The problem is that teachers are already stretched so thin. That's why so many people are leaving. So that's a problem. I know how much money I spent as a teacher out of my own pocket to get what I needed for my students to be able to read and do the things they needed to do. And teachers right. do it all over. They're working second jobs. A lot of people think that teachers are done. They're like, you're done at 3. No, not really. What we always said is I worked until I just could not keep my eyes open. I was never ahead. I was always behind. And then they're like, you get summers off, where we spend planning, doing our professional development, working another job. I was working 3 jobs at once. It's not easy, and we're always working. So teachers get a bad rap. I mean, the ones that are really putting everything into it need the support. You need the financial support to be able to pay to teach all of our students. So when we don't have the support and the money and the research to do what's best for them, we're only failing our kids. And teachers are going to take the blame, and there are going to be less and less. More colleges are closing the teacher programs because nobody wants to go in and make no money and be abused and have to work a second job. I know when I went to a teaching fair, like for teachers, and they said, okay, so we will hook you up with a teacher that you can live with and help you find a second job. Wow. They're like, no, thank you. I think I'll stay here. I pass. So, you know, it's frustrating for everybody, and it's a scary time for everybody because, like, what's going to happen? And I think parents should really be worried about what's going to happen. The system is not perfect, but taking away even more resources and support is not going to make it better.
Yeah, I have a thing about the way, you know, it's like it's a couple of ways to look at it, right? Like the way that the states are set up with all the way that they take taxes from its citizens and all these other things, or even the ones that have the lottery and different things like that. It's supposed to be the education lottery. And all of these different things, it just doesn't make sense that the teachers are underpaid the way that they are. Right? Like, there's no real justification, because there are people who make such high salaries that work on the state level that don't do the work, or the work that they do is not as important as the teachers that actually teach the children, yet they make more money than the teachers that teach the children. Because me personally, I don't think no teacher that's in education that has to not only, you know, deal with the fact that somebody is telling you what to teach, even though you know better, right? So you're going against your morals, and you're underpaid, and you're dealing with a lot of children sometimes who have behavior issues, right? So, you know, you're almost like a glorified babysitter, right? That's trying to teach a child that is not getting any type of fundamental basics at home. Right. It's just, you know, a normal routine every day. Even kids get caught in a routine. The way that the classrooms look, the classrooms are not bright. They're not vibrant. You know, they don't represent, you know, a place that is open for learning. They look like a place that you just held for hours. Right. And, you know, no matter
if there are bright classrooms, it's because the teachers spend their money out of pocket. Like, you know, there are there are teachers, they'll give you one box of pencils for the entire year, and that's all you're allowed to have for your class. I don't know if you've ever been in a classroom, but pencils disappear at a very fast rate. Like, you can give a student a pencil and then be like, where did it go 5 minutes later? And they have no idea. So, no glue sticks. So, I know that parents complain when they have to get supplies at the beginning of the year, but if the parents don't supply them, the teachers will. Out of their already not.
Out of their pocket. Not so paid pocket, right? Which is a shame because, like I said, all these things are being paid for. And you know, school lunches. And then whenever the schools have sports, organized sports, you know, people pay to go inside these games and all these sports and stuff like that. And then the parents still have to pay for their kids' uniforms. They like everything is money going in. And then it seems like the people who need it the most, it's not coming back to them. And that's the saddest thing about education. You have some people who are just there for the check. They can care less about the kids. They'll go ahead and go through the little whatever they've been told to teach them and let them move and go. They don't care, right? But then there's real people such as yourself who actually care about the kids, right? And care about their development and care about their learning and want to be a part of their success story because they became these Fortune 500 CEOs, but because they learned how to read, right? Because they were so proficient in reading. Now they're this important person in the world because it starts from the fundamentals, right?
And you were talking about breakfast and lunch, and some people have a problem with that. That is, for some of our kids, that is the only food they get, is what they get for free breakfast and free lunch. And you can't teach a child if they're hungry.
If their
needs are not being met, if they're hungry, they're not going to be able to learn because they're thinking about being hungry or what they're going to eat or if they're going to have food. So I know there are a lot of teachers that keep snacks in their classroom. So many teachers, when it's snack time, there's a teacher option because some kids, you're going 5 or 6 hours, depending on when your morning is and when your lunch is, being that hungry. You can't think. I know as adults, we can't think. We need food. So we provide.
Yeah. Time.
You know, there. I think the majority of teachers are trying their best with what they have. And it may not always be what they need, but they're doing. I mean, you don't get into teaching if you don't care. The kids know. If you don't care about them and you don't build that relationship, they're not going to learn. They will. They know if you walk in and you don't care. You have
And I think that's a big turnoff for children too, because most people think that because they are children and they're young that they don't understand. Like they can't pick up on things and they don't have a keen sense of discernment because children, they may not be able to hone in on it like most adults can, but they feel things at a high rate. And they could tell like when a person doesn't really care about them and a person doesn't show them. Some kids grow numb to it because their environment shows that, right? But then again, because like you said earlier, some children don't eat unless they go to school. Like they get that breakfast and lunch. So on the weekends, they scrambling. Right. Because and then they the ones that come to school, like they got the best attendance. They just might not have the best attitude, but they got the best attendance. But why? Because they're going to eat. So they're going to come to school so they can eat. And I remember a lot of growing up, I remember people having to go through that as a thing, like literally. Like, yo, I'm only coming here so I can eat, or going through the summer programs, like going to summer school, because it's even harder when you're at home all day and there's nothing to eat. So at least if you're in summer school, you can at least get the lunch and the breakfast that come with summer school. So some people used to just sign up for summer school because they might not have done good in one or two classes just so they could eat. Like, it's tough that we are faced with these type of things in America. And that's what I was saying in my intro, not so much, but, you know, I talk about it all the time. The way that people are so separated in this world is the reason why we are in the predicament that we're in. And because it's so much for self, you know, you're a teacher, you're in a classroom, you're helping to provide for children. You know, there are some parents who are able to give their children whatever supplies they need, but then you got the 2-3 sitting next that can't. So now they're getting picked on. Now they're getting bullied. Now, because this is also a lot of teachers be trying to balance it out. So nobody has to get bullied. I'm buying some for everybody, right? And y'all have to come out your pockets for that, because there is no budget. There is no, let's do this for the teachers. And I think that's foul. I really do. And I think that the Department of Education being dismantled is the first step of things being able to bring the power back to the parents to be able to get the right type of support that the teachers need. Because now the teachers will be able to teach how they need to teach, and you know, the parents would be more suitable of being able to support it. Because now you got parents, you know, as quiet as kept with everything that they've been teaching the children about sexuality and gender stuff. That's not the place for children to have to learn that. That's not making them a productive citizen for them to have to be forced to learn about that at such a young age, right? And, you know, this is what's been forced on the children lately. Like, they so busy trying to figure out what's wrong with them because people are telling them that something is wrong with them, and it's hard for them to learn how to do anything outside of that, right? And so that's why it's important that we have people such as yourself who buck up against the system, so to speak, because, you know, you could have stayed in the brick and mortar for the safety, right? Versus going out on your own.
I wouldn't have survived. I always said I wasn't a very good robot. I was questioning, and I'm like, why are we doing this? They have me teaching children contractions. They didn't know their names. I'm like, this is not working. So, in the end, now I'm much happier because I get to do what they need, and it's much nicer. But I was going to say, yeah, with people buying things out of their own pocket, I was a reading teacher, so I had K-6, so I still have all my books, still use them periodically. But I, in my room, I had the extra Valentines, and there was always going to be the kids that came on the day of the Christmas exchange without a present. So I would always have extra everything in my room, and their teachers would send them down and be like, okay, they have nothing. We can't do this. So I would have different things for each grade, and we would sit. They'd come to me at lunch or in the mornings, and we would fill out their Valentines because it wasn't their fault they didn't have it.
Right.
And they didn't need to feel bad about not having it.
Right.
And then I would be like, why didn't you do this? Or, you know.
You know what? I think it's an unwritten thing. I think more teachers should come out and talk, right? I think more teachers should come on podcasts and different things like that and really tell, because I don't think parents really know what goes on throughout the year to really help teach their child, right? I think they only know based on academically with the report cards and whether, you know, they go to teacher parent meetings and stuff like that. But I mean, as far as everything that it takes for that teacher to teach your child for that year, because they have that your child for that year, you know, and what you guys go through to invest in those children, you know, I don't think that parents really fully understand it, right? Because even growing up as a parent, you used to be a student. And depending on the relationship that some people have with their teachers, they don't too much have that same regard for teachers whenever they have children of their own, right? Long as their child don't come home complaining that the teacher don't like them and all that other stuff, they pretty much just go on about, you know, whatever it is. But they don't know that the teacher just came out of pocket for at least 8 of her 12, 15 students because 8 of them are at poverty level.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think they also sometimes children see things a little different than we do.
Right.
I always tell the story. I taught online. I was at home, but my students were in a classroom. And one of my students was like, I'm just going to tell my mom that you didn't teach me this. And I said, you may want to remember that it's recorded. Like, it's recorded. And he said, oh man, I forgot I can't lie about you. Like, it was like, write down the time, send it to the principal. This is what exactly. This said. I'm like, so some teachers are like, I don't want cameras in my classroom. If I went back, I would want cameras everywhere.
Right. Yeah, just so it could be proof of everything.
Not for people to spy, but just have.
No, I think it should be. To be honest with you, I think cameras should be in the classrooms and parents should be able to remote into those cameras to see what their child is doing throughout the day. I think that certain alerts should be sent to parents as reminders for them to tune into the camera to check their child out. Because some parents need to see their children in action sometimes. And then some parents need, some children need to know that their parents can see them. Right. I think that will help out with a lot that's going on in the classrooms too. Right. Because, let's think about it. If a person really think they know their children, right, if they really feel like they know their children, then you would want to put your children in the best position for them to succeed. And a lot of times just sending them to school is not enough. Right. And just your thought process of saying, I'm doing that part, is my way of making sure that they get an education. Well, how much are you supporting the teachers that's educating your children, right? How much can you give them a gift card? Like you said, like buying a pack of pencils, like there are ways that you could buy things wholesale too, right? So if two or three parents was to give a little $20, $25 gift card to y'all, that's $75. That's enough. You could get so much supplies or so many little snacks or so many extra things. Like, not that they don't have to, but just the thought process of understanding, how important you guys' jobs are and how much y'all put into people's children. I think it goes unnoticed, and I think it's because a lot of you that are good teachers are parents yourselves, and you guys don't really complain. Well, you might complain to each other, but y'all don't complain to the parents.
And I think parents forget we're on their side. We want what's best for our students. We spend more time with some of their children than they do, honestly, exactly, in the year. So we are not out to get them. We want them to be as successful as they can be. We want them to be good people. We want them to care about others. So it's like when I was in Brigham and Mortar, we always were doing cultural things. I didn't know I was going to end up teaching students around the world, but I've always taught my students about others and helping others and being kind with our reading. And you can do that with books. You can travel with books. So we traveled with reading. So I think it's important. My sister always tells me I have a very different perspective from other people because I teach students on six continents. Most people don't have that privilege of knowing people from around the world. And in my tutoring community I'm part of, there are people around the world in it. So we learn from each other. In my writing community, I'm with people from around the world. So I'm really lucky. I know you were talking about people being divided, but what I've learned is we're more alike than we are different.
Exactly.
Everybody's different, but everybody for the most part is trying to do their best, have a good life, take care of their children, be happy. And my sister, when I hear things like in the news, she's just like, you have a different perspective. Remember this. They don't have your perspective. So,
right.
Teaching my students in Ukraine. I've talked to them in bomb shelters. I have people that I know going, it's not real. And it's like, I heard the gun. I know what it's like to have them come and tell me, we're not in school today. A bomb went off on our playground. Luckily, we weren't in school when it did. Or they're rotating when they have class because there are bomb holes in their school. It's scary.
That's crazy. That's scary.
But my students in Myanmar, I didn't realize it the one day. I'm like, why is there banging, guys? Because the war hadn't been to them, all their families had come. And I didn't realize it. And they're like, no, we're just fixing your house. I'm like, why are you fixing your house? They wouldn't tell me. And a couple of days later, they're like, yeah, we have to move. And so they pretty much lost everything. My one student lived in the woods for months. I didn't know if she was okay. I was at last Christmas, I cried because I got this message from her and she's like, Merry Christmas, teacher. I'm like, you don't even celebrate Christmas, but you're alive. I'm so happy. Like, she's like, crying. I'm like, my student's okay. Like, not in a great position, but at least she's alive.
Right.
So yeah, like, man. I know I kind of went off on a tangent, but that, like, I think
it's no. Education is good. I mean, because you all over the world. And like I said, a lot of people don't pay attention to things. That's why you made a great point. I say that a lot. We got more things in common than we got different. And a lot of times all over the world, people are dealing with things that are similar. It just may be a slightly different in some type of way, but it's similar, right? You know, you got people who, like you said, in places like Myanmar and, you know, in Ukraine, I mean, these are places that stay, well, Ukraine as of recent, but Myanmar, I mean, it's always been some type of something going on out there that's been crazy, right?
Where, you know,
right, and it's been crazy. They done made movies about it. They done did all kind of documentaries about it. It's always something going on out there, right? And for you to have students that are going through it and still got the mindset to want to learn, that's motivating, right? I mean, it's motivating for me. And I think, well, I wish more people could see the value in things that we, you know, that may look bad, but see the value in the way that other people handle those things that may look bad, right? Because, you know, in Ukraine, you know, you have the American public who is just fed up with the president taking the taxpayers' money to do what he want with. But at the same time, you have those people who are still saying, please try to stop this war because children and women are being killed. And as much as we can say that the big bad men that are in position to keep this war going, the victims are still children and women. And you just proved that again by what you just said about the schools. Like, they're getting bombed, like, can't go to school today, and not this, that, and the third, because they're in the middle of a war. And the people say that's part of war. And it's crazy, right? Same thing going on in Israel. You got Israel. You got kids who are trying to learn in Israel, right? You got the Palestinians who've been there. Then you got the, you know, all these other things, and they've been bombed. They're getting killed. They're being genocided against. And everybody is being made to make it seem like it's justifiable for them, right? To be able to do that to a bunch of people when them themselves didn't feel like it was justifiable when it happened to them. So I just hate that we live in a world where we can't see the things that we have more alike than we have different.
I always think people should meet people from around the world. They would probably learn a few things, maybe more than not. But it's also, I teach students in Asia, and the majority of my students are in China, and they are very, very sweet. Like, when COVID happened, they were sending us things and sending us masks. They were, I mean, they're truly loving people, but everybody has such a bad opinion of them.
Yeah. And
I'm like, I love my students. They're nice. They're sweet. Their parents are always like, how are you doing? How are things going? Are you doing okay?
Yeah.
You know, like, they're very, very loving. And I think people don't see that.
Nah, because it's the same thing about us. Think about it. Think about how much these countries so-called hate America, but it ain't the Americans. It's not us, right? It's not us who they mad at. Yeah. It's the people who are in charge. And it's the same thing in China. It's the people that's in charge that make China seem like the Chinese people hate us, you know?
We always say that our students, so many of us have worked with them, that they know there are loving, caring people in the United States. They know that people are kind. But one of my students has a baby brother, and he's a few years younger than my new niece. So it's so funny. Like, he'll come out and I'll get to see him because I have her every day. So
That's cool.
He comes and visits, and she's like, he really likes you. He stopped crying.
I mean, but which is, that's the thing. It's like we could find so many things that could help bring us together more than we could have that'll separate us. It's just the mindset. You know, you got to be willing to get out of the victim mindset that everything that happened to, you know, you or the people that look like you, it only happened to you. Right? It's happening to everybody all over the world. Everybody has gone through something tragic that could put them in a place of PTSD. But we got to get through that, right? But I think tonight's conversation was really good because I'm so glad that you came on because, you know, I've had different people in the education space on, but it's came from mainly social work, right? Education through social work, which helping people to deal with their emotions more than it is about their academics, right? But the fact that you are a person that specializes in reading, I think that's so important because having you on tonight, I hope a lot of people watch this would really get into themselves about, you know, the basic fundamentals of your child being successful is going to start with their reading and comprehension. And hopefully they will try to take it into a consideration and maybe invest in their kids in that perspective as well to get tutors like you, you know, that really care. And if more teachers like you or more tutors, I know you said you have them in your network, you know, these guys should do more podcasts. Right? You know what I mean? You guys should do a lot more telling exactly what it takes for you to teach people's children. What are the things that you guys actually really invest in to make sure that their children are successful by the end of the year, right? That they advance from you in a way where you know that wherever they're going, that the things that they took from you should help them conquer every step going past you, right? I think a lot more teachers should come out and be willing to share these things because a lot of it's just not happening a lot. So,
and I think many of them are afraid of the consequences. They're still in.
Well, we got to find a way. We got to find a way because the parents overall, I mean, it's going to affect them the way that their children are being taught. So we got to find a way for the parents to encourage the teachers, right? But we got to find brave teachers too, such as yourself. You got to find more teachers that are brave enough to come out and say, hey, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Yes, your child is on the honor roll and it's this, that, and the third, but I want to let you know it's because, you know, this is what had to take place. You know, we had to invest in this. We had to get this. Sometimes your child came to school hungry. Sometimes your child didn't have lunch. Sometimes your child is very smart and academically bright and all these other things. We believe in your child. I just want you to know the investment that it took for us to make sure that your child had the self-esteem and the motivation to keep going and not be torn down by their lack of, right? Because they're watching other students who are not in lack. Right. So we want more teachers like yourself to come out. So before we get out of here this evening, would you please do us the honors and, you know, giving out your information real quick to the parents that may have been watching this or the ones that have watched the playback. If they want to reach out to you to be able to acquire your services to help them with their children and advancing in their reading skills.
My website is newkidsreading.com and it's Zoo Kids Reading on YouTube as well and Instagram. And I have a parent Facebook page. If you go to zookidsreading.com, you can find it. But there are also books on there that you can print to help your kids. And I am working on publishing, hopefully by September, it will be out, some books that will help parents teach their students. If they aren't able to afford tutors, they can teach them on their own. It will be very specific and to the phonics as well as a fiction series I'm working on. So stay tuned for more details. It'll be up on my YouTube and Facebook and thekidsreading.com.
Okay, great. So I want all the people that's watching tonight, that watch the playback, people that will, you know, join a part of this conversation. I want you guys to really take into consideration what extra steps and extra investment that teachers are making in your children's lives for them to be successful. You know, kind of put yourselves in the shoes of a person who has to do that, not just for your child, but for multiple children. When, you know, you as a parent only have to focus on the children that are in your vicinity, right? No matter what, teachers have to focus on more children than probably the ones that you have. And not only that, they have to still have that same focus for their own children when their parents as well too, right? Because they never get to turn off their teaching hat. They teach your children at school, and then they got to teach their own children when they're at home. So a teacher is a 24-hour thing, just so you guys know. And they're underappreciated, and they're underpaid. Let's just be real. So I'm glad that you came on tonight. I hope more people after tonight and continue on will, you know, that are teachers will, you know, really take it into consideration to jump on out here and tell more of their story, get so the parents can get more involved in helping them help their children, okay? So thank you so much, Amy, for jumping on. ZooKidsReading.com, ZooKidsReading.com for all of y'all that are watching. If you want to get your children some extra steps in their reading, prepare them for the future. Prepare them to be successful. It all starts with the fundamentals. We know they need to learn how to count, but they got to be able to read, right? Because even with reading, you got to be able to read numbers. Like, everything starts from reading, okay? So let's get to it, y'all. Let's be supportive and let's put our children first, okay? Or by all costs. So y'all know what to do. Make sure y'all tune in for next week's show. Y'all know I'm going to have an amazing guest on next week. And we're going to keep the vibes going. We got a lot of future shows come up. Also, y'all know next week that our short film comedy drops, Kill No One. It's a great joint. It's going to be so funny. I want all of you guys to go out there to subscribe to the channel. The links will be in the description so you guys can subscribe to the channel and be aware when it drops. And, you know, let me know what y'all think about it and all that. We're going to continue to keep pushing and living in our purpose, right? We're not going to be afraid and we're not going to wait for somebody to give us an opportunity we can create ourselves. So until next week, everyone, I want y'all to enjoy your week and never forget that if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. So until next week, peace.